Welcome back to Word on the Hills and our guest today, Kim Grove. Kim, you spent a lot of time teaching writing at Loyalist College and with other community groups. How did you get started in the whole teaching of writing?
Well, I think Natalie Goldberg was an influence on me because I saw that she was able to just draw people out and draw their stories out, and it seemed to be a kind of a talent. And I love people and talking to people. So actually, I think it was first was the Air Force Base. I approached them and said, would you like somebody to come and teach creative writing? And they said yes. And it was a great experience because I don't know that much about the military in Canada. And I learned a lot. Both men and women took the course. And it was interesting to see how some of the women were sharing things the men never thought about. For instance, when the men are deployed to a different country, the women are left behind with the kids. And one woman was like, oh, thank goodness for my kids because they helped me keep my mind off it. And the other one was like, well, that's interesting because I couldn't imagine having to deal with kids when I'm dealing with my husband being away. So it was just different things they expressed that I thought, wow, this is very interesting. I never realized it's a whole different life, the military.
Well, what fascinates me about that is, why would you think to go to a place like the base?
Yes, I guess because I knew they had all these courses they offered. I'd seen their pamphlets about the courses, and I thought, well, gosh, creative writing would be something that would be really valuable, I would think, to them. And so it was great. It was a great experience. And that got me going. I went to the Colborne Community Care Center, and, you know, these people who are usually seniors that attend that have so many incredible stories to share. And that was really fun, just seeing people who've never written a thing before share their stories. It was great.
So do you concentrate mostly on memoir pieces then, encouraging
yes,
people to tell their own life stories?
Yes, yes. One woman, I remember telling a story about her son, who was a policeman, who had been in some kind of accident, and he became a paraplegic.
Oh.
And she said that he said to her, Mom, why are you here? What, I'm not here going to die. I'm going to learn to live. And it was a wonderful story, and that's how she started her piece. He went on to be in the Terry Fox Hall of Fame because he ended up passing on of cancer, but you just felt like he didn't let the accident stop his life. He still continued as a police officer. She said that he could look at a piece of graffiti on a wall, and he could tell you what gang had created that graffiti. I mean, he just turned his life into a different area of use to the police force, which was great.
Yeah, that is a lovely story. Yeah. So what do you like best about teaching creative writing?
I guess it's just the fun of seeing the stories come out from people. You see people have lived their lives in different ways, but there's things that are similar, but there's things that are really so touching. I'm thinking of a woman who shared about growing up in Toronto in a very ethnic neighborhood, and she used to run off to this Italian family and have dinner with them at 4 o'clock, and then she would go home to her own house. And she was from a Scottish background, and her mother, she'd want to tell her mother about who she'd met at the dinner and all that, and her mother said, now you know we don't speak when we're having dinner. And
oh dear.
and just the contrast she created with this wonderful family that opened their doors and made her feel so welcome, then her own family that made her feel so limited. And she went on to win an award for that story too in her community. She was so excited. She never won anything, she said. She won $100. So that was fun to see, you know, when people share their stories and they see other people appreciate them. It's great.
Oh, wonderful. And what about the editing side? You do a lot of that too.
Well, I've just gotten into the editing more, and it's fun because you never want to squelch a person's voice, their writing voice. So you have to be careful that you don't change things too much. But when you see something like, I think new writers in particular tend to kind of ramble, and you have to kind of move things around in their story to make it flow better. But each person has a voice, and it's wonderful to see. Like this one writer that I've gotten to know who's so exuberant, you know, she just has this real joy of living, and you wouldn't want to take that out of her voice when she's writing. And so she tends to kind of have a kind of a staccato in her writing because she gets choppy maybe, but on the other hand it has a certain newness and freshness that I think makes it stand out.
And the editing you've been doing lately is on the book Gathering Families.
Yes. Right? Yes. And that's been wonderful because it brings back so many of my own memories, too, of my own family and growing up and thinking about my mom and my dad, who've both passed on now. But it's just everybody has that in common, the family thing. Although I did meet one person whose mother kind of left the whole family at an orphanage because she was going to remarry. Her husband had passed on and he didn't want kids. And I couldn't imagine doing that.
But then that's a story in
itself,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely, yes. That's
it takes all kinds to make up our world.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, perhaps you'd like to read us something from Gathering Families.
Yes, this is the woman that shared about her grandmother. And just the way she describes her grandmother, I think we get a good sense of it. My grandmother, Sophia Maple Gray, was a teacher in a one-room schoolhouse in Hamiota, a small town in western Manitoba. Like a cloud, she floated in and out of my life, a soft, ethereal presence floating through the house. Grandpa died, she moved in. She married Bill, she moved out. Bill died, she moved in. When she floated in, the world was in full color. When out, it dulled to black and white. She had refined the art of living with joy and peace. I didn't see her as a personality. She was a soul, one in a trillion, curious about everything, attached to nothing. Singing, dancing, marching, reciting, storytelling were things she was good at. Our world together was full of wonder and enchantment. She didn't point me in the right direction. She noticed where I was going and lit the path. Hers was the law of attraction, not promotion. No opinions, no politics, no religion, no judgment, no stress. A granny without borders. She had little money, but what she had, she offered it to everyone. Dad replaced the real bills in her wallet with Canadian Tire money when her sight dimmed because she gave money to everyone at the door. Milkman, mailman, breadman, fuller brushman, insurance man, real estate salesman all benefited from her generosity. Because of Granny, I came to the conclusion that when people are generous financially, they are generous emotionally. During her life, she was the heart and soul of her little community of less than 1,000 people. Everyone called on her to make speeches at special events. Mabel was the mistress of ceremonies at weddings. She recited Crossing the Bar by Alfred Lord Tennyson at funerals, said grace at farm suppers, and entertained at box lunch socials. She recited the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, the Ten Commandments, and the Golden Rule when the boys went to war. So she goes on to talk more about her grandmother, but the interesting thing about her grandmother is she was chosen to go to the United States and read a paper. And it was in 1901, and the president of the United States at that time was William McKinley, and she actually saw him be assassinated because when he was giving a speech, somebody came from out of the woodwork and shot him twice, and he died 8 days later. So she had an interesting life.
Absolutely.
And and it's nice to know that a Canadian was there in this very historic moment. I'm so glad that she shared the story, too, because otherwise we would never know something like that.
And she shared it in a lovely way. I would have loved to meet that woman.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Very generous of spirit.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kim. We've been visiting with Kim Grove today. And Kim, where are the books available?
Amazon Stories, Inc. is on, and Gathering Families hasn't come out yet, but it will be coming out in a few months, and it will also be on Amazon.
It seems
to be the easiest way to get books out there these days.
Well, perfect. Well, thanks once again.
Thanks.
And thank you, too, to our listeners. If you would like to connect with us, to send us comments or queries or suggestions of who we might interview in the coming programs, please write to us at wordonthehills@gmail.com. And thanks again for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again next week on Word on the Hills, Northumberland 89.7.